There we are. We're back.
All right.
Let's try this again. Episode 2, minus technology challenges. Kevin, I hope you're there still. I think we've got it figured out, but we're going to jump immediately in to our first article just in case. All right. So here's the first thing that I stumbled across this week that I thought was really interesting. And let me zoom this in a little bit. We don't need to see all the white space. We'll try it maybe like that. So this is Finch. And I was reading based off of this that Finch has actually been around for a while, but I guess it's now GA. And what it is an open source project. You can see right here called Finch, right? And it's a command line tool to exactly do what they're saying here. Building, running, and publishing Linux containers. And it supports the Mac OS operating system. So I thought this was pretty cool. I managed to grab a copy of it very quickly the other day. Super easy to install, brew install, you're done. And it pulls down, you can see here, it has some other components that it needs, open source components. And it was up and running in 2 minutes, had it going. And this is an interesting article. If you scroll down right here, they give you kind of like the hello world solution. So you can initialize your environment, you can start your environment, and then you can pull down a Hello Finch container and run it. And sorry, say that again?
Whatever container you want, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I was like, okay, I ran the Hello Finch, Hello World thing. Great, that's neat. It works. And then what I tried to do was point it at one of our ECR repos, and I ran into the regular trials and tribulations of authentication issues.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I have the ECR credential helper set up. It's probably the fact that it's an RTFM situation, and I was literally like, this will work, and it did not. So it's probably
config,
user.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just config, right? So I'm sure it's user error, but it seems pretty slick, and I'd be interested. I was kind of thinking when I read this, like, I wonder command line tools, you know, just to be able to run things very quickly. I wonder if maybe at some point you could work it into your deployment pipelines or something. Although I think it's only focused on Mac OS for the time being. I think I saw that somewhere here.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Mac native. Yeah.
It seemed to have a Windows client.
Do they have a Windows client as well?
That's in the what's next.
What's next. Okay.
That's upcoming.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. I mean, if we can work it into the GitLab workflow, then that would be something.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, why not use Docker, you know?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned something kind of interesting to me the other day about maybe this is targeted at folks with, because Docker's changed some of their licensing, right? So maybe this is a play around, you know, if you wanted to get rid of some of those licensing costs. Again, I haven't read enough about it yet to completely sort of understand the use cases, but I thought this article was really interesting as a quick intro to this. I bet you there are folks out there that are already building things with this. So I bet you know, LinkedIn, Twitter, or something like that, you can probably find some folks that are building something with this already. So I'll throw that in chat. So if you're interested in reading it, you can dive into it. And they've got their own Slack channel. So I guess if you hung out in Slack, you could find out more about this as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's the first one. What do you think?
I think that's neat. I mean, yeah, like you said, that Docker license change is could be an issue if you're, I think, what is the limit? It's 100 seats at the company or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
100 employees where you have to start paying them. So for Docker desktop specifically. So for Mac, this could be pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, the install with Brew, it was like, well, you know, really quick, just one command, right? And I wasn't paying attention. You know, wants me to run it. I needed to elevate my privileges to get some stuff installed.
Yeah.
And, you know, first time failed, but that's user error again, as usual. So sort of read the screen as you hit enter a couple times, and you'll probably get this up and running in no time at all. So
I'm going to mess around.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll mess around with this for sure. Once we get Linux support, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, because then, like you said, we could work it into, just to compare it against what our current workflow is, right? In those GitLab projects where we have container-based applications, just to bake it off against this, just to see even.
Yeah, just to, as an alternative, you know, just try it out.
Yeah, just another option. Yeah, that's cool. Right? Yeah, I thought it was kind of neat. I'll be interested to see what people do. And this is kind of cool, too. They've got, so you've got the Hello World thing, but then they've also got the Yelp app, right? That you can run locally, which, again, allows you to do some testing of this, which I thought was kind of cool if you wanted to see something more than just your ASCII output.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm going to give that a star. Kind of neat.
Yeah, I would, I would be interested to see how this one plays out. So that's our first one. The next one, let's go actually over here, and I'll zoom back in. So trusted advisor, good old trusted advisor. Let me make sure this fits. So let's do the what is trusted advisor thing, just in case somebody doesn't know. Trusted advisor is, the way I think about it, is kind of a real or near real time best practice, guidance provider in your AWS environment. It's been around for a really long time, and you don't really have to do anything. Everybody gets it. Now, the thing that, and there's no different here with this announcement with Trusted Advisor, is in order to get all of the checks that are included, and you can see here that it says they've delivered 64 new best practices in Trusted Advisor across all the categories, and right here, are the categories that are built in, right? So you've got cost, performance, resilience, security, ops, and service limits. So the things that most people would want or need to know. The thing to keep in mind is that in order to get all of the checks, you need to have business level support or higher in place. If you don't, if you have what's it called? Basic, I think there's basic and developer too, right? If you have either of those two, you get only a subset of these checks, so you're not going to get everything. Okay. The other thing with Trusted Advisor to keep in mind is, if you have a business level or higher, you also have programmatic access to it, and you can generate notifications from it. And my understanding, unless something's changed there, my understanding is that, again, without business level support or higher, you don't have programmatic access and you don't have the ability to generate outbound notifications.
So, okay. So you're,
but
it is pretty handy if you need to know usage info. And
yeah, I don't want to undersell it. Like, you know, it's not valuable unless you have business level support or higher, because in the free version, let's call it the free version of Trusted Advisor, you do have the ability to get some service limit checks, some basic security checks. So there's value there right out of the box as well. Okay. The thing that I couldn't find in this article before the stream today, and I was kind of went back into the documentation and was having a look, is you'll notice right here in the first sentence that it says it's integrated now with AWS config for these checks. And I don't think, and you know, somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this, and it wouldn't be surprising, but I didn't think that up till this point Trusted Advisor required config. So my thought is here, and like I said, I couldn't find it in the doc, what if you don't have config enabled? Do you just not get the new checks? Like, it doesn't add them to your account? Is it now a requirement to have config there? I don't know.
Yeah, do they turn config on by default? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because see what it does here is it says the new best practice checks are powered by config managed rules, which are awesome. But I know in a lot of times when we're working in customers' accounts and things like that, as much as I really like AWS config and I think it's a fantastic troubleshooting tool and it gives you a good understanding of what's in your environment, a lot of times it's overlooked, right? People just kind of don't know or don't understand or see the value of it, so they just leave it turned off. So I don't know. I don't know if you need that turned on, or maybe it's doing it behind the scenes and the checks still work. I don't know for sure.
We will have to take a look.
Yeah, I guess we could always jump into one of our accounts. We've got business support enabled Oh, but we would have config there. Yeah, maybe we just set a new account up, don't turn config on and see what happens, and enable just business support on it and see what it does. So, yeah, I think Trusted Advisor is good. And you know what? There's one other thing that I wanted to see if I could find. Mm. And, you know, nothing like being prepared, right?
Right.
Let me see here. Where's my other browser? Again, I was saying to you, if you see me swinging my head left to right, I'm trying to find the monitor that has this on it.
Searching. Yeah,
searching for a browser somewhere. Okay, hang on.
Yeah, more checks on Trusted Advisor is always good.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong, right?
If you're already paying for support anyways.
Yeah. In my brain, there was a GitHub project. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm totally making this up or just mixing it up with something else that I read. And I'm pretty sure it was somebody from AWS. They had built at least like the skeleton code around being able to talk to Trusted Advisor and then taking checks from Trusted Advisor and pushing them into your ticketing system. And I think the demo they did was, it was on one of the build on AWS streams. If I'm thinking about the right thing. And it was pretty neat. They had it set up where they could push that into, I think it was Jira. Let me see if I can quickly find it here. I thought I followed the repo just to see if there was any changes in it, but I won't be able to find it now that I want to. Automated security response. Ah, damn. Well, if I can find it, I'll add it just to our notes and maybe we can come back to it next week. How do I... Okay, here's
Trusted Advisor tools repo here in AWS. Yeah. And a ticketing system. That sounds promising.
Ticketing system, yeah. I'm pretty sure... I know I watched the repo or something. I'm having that moment where I'm in Git just kind of like I've never been in Git before and I'm like, I don't know where this stuff is. So, yeah. I want my little... Oh, hang on. I can never find the... Isn't there like a watch? No, it's not it. Oh, well. Well-laid plans never seem to work, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a page. Like, you know how you can watch repos?
Yeah.
I thought somewhere in that I could just go and find that page in GitHub and... try to show that to you, but yeah, no luck. So I'll find it like 5 minutes after we're done the stream. I'll stumble across it.
Sure.
We'll save Kevin's that for next week.
Yeah. Kevin's asking if there's anything you thought was missing from Trusted Advisor.
You know, there's nothing that I could immediately say. Like, there's a lot of checks now in Trusted Advisor.
They already had cost optimization and performance for the major compute resources, which was pretty nice.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing I'll take a look at. Security as well, I'll take a look at as well. Okay. But if they have more checks for best practices, that's probably a good step.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull up the... Yeah, here's the check reference here. I'll just dump this into here for now. We'll have a look.
But the main things people care about are they were there before this patch, I felt.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I think so too. And the other thing, I think, you know, Trusted Advisor has a little bit of headwind because there's lots of other things out there too, right? AWS has a huge list of
so many services.
Config managed rules that you could put in here. They have, what do they call? They call them conformance packs as well, where they bundled things together. So as is the case in most things in AWS, you kind of have to pick how you want to do something because there's probably multiple ways to do the same thing, right? So here, I'll throw this if you wanted to look at the checks that are available. I'll throw them right there. So you've got a link at least to go and have a look at it. Because I think if you could see at the bottom of the screen here, cost optimization, there's all the checks. There's a lot of stuff in here, right? So that's the... that's the Trusted Advisor one I wanted to bring up, and kind of nice segue into the other announcement that I saw was more support for new resources in config. And again, I think config often gets overlooked, as I mentioned already. I think it's probably one of the best tools out there to help you understand what's in your environment, what it's related to, who or what has been making changes to it, because you get that nice visual timeline of all of the history of that resource and right. sort of what's happened to it from the moment it's discovered until the moment you retire it. So I always get excited about these things. Like there's a lot of, what was it, 41 new resource types that are supported, added to the support. Yeah. I didn't see anything that immediately jumped out at me, like as being like, how was this not here before? But I still just like to know that there's more stuff here.
Well, EC2 capacity reservations, client VPN endpoints. That's handy.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ground station mission profiles if you're working on satellites.
Yeah, if you're deploying satellites. I know we do that all the time, right?
So constantly.
It's really important for us. But there's like S3 access points, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Increasingly, we're seeing more and more people use access points to kind of simplify necessarily, but sort of help you manage complex resource policies for your S3 buckets. Yeah. So that's kind of handy.
For security purposes too, that's useful to keep track of.
Keep track of it. And then up here, this is another one, right? Log destinations, right? CloudWatch logs and destination configs. So that's kind of neat.
That's useful, yeah.
Yeah.
Manage Kafka. Okay. So they're kind of, it's a completeness patch, but some useful stuff in here for sure.
Yeah. And this is on top of, and I don't quite remember, maybe a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure there was another config announcement about some other additional support for other services. So I think this might be like the second announcement in just a couple weeks where config has been updated to support new stuff. Yeah. Okay. So that's that. And then the last thing that I had on my list for this week was this, the Cloud Intelligence Dashboard. And there are a number of dashboards. This is demo info, so nobody worry about what this is. It's just fake.
Nothing sensitive here.
Yeah, it's not our account. This is our bill, right? I've actually seen this before, but they did a really good demo of it again on, I think it was the last episode of the AWS Build On Twitch show. They did I think it was a whole half day on cost optimization. And this, I thought, was one of the things that they showed as just sort of a tool that you might want to put in your environment to give you additional information about what's happening. And it's built on QuickSight. There's lots of really interesting things here. And then on top of this, like I mentioned, there's all sorts of additional dashboards. So there's like the core piece, which I think is this Kudos dashboard that I brought up here. Let's open up this link. Right. So
this is the first time I'm seeing this, but this is pretty slick.
Yeah. So here are the foundational dashboards. Okay. And in true Amazon fashion, there's a whole workshop here, or studio that you can walk through to build all of this. And you've got your foundational pieces and then the additional pieces that you can deploy. We're working on this one right now for another customer. And their thought is, obviously this is not free, okay? There's a charge for this because you've got AWS services involved. And if you go under FAQs, they give you an example of the pricing. And they kind of, make some assumptions and here you go, right?
Right off the top of my head, you're using Athena for sure. QuickSight has fixed costs.
Yeah.
There's Clue involved, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they give you some decent reference diagrams and things like that. The point that the person that I was talking to mentioned is this cost, right here, $100 to $200, and obviously, you know, this is always going to depend on the consumption, how much data you're pushing through and all those things, right? There's lots of variables here that we won't get into. But their comment was, this is still far more affordable than what we're using right now, right? Some other SaaS tool. And from them just watching a couple demos, and I think they're actually having a presentation by AWS as well, just going through that, they're like, they think that these dashboards, even the foundational dashboards, are more than enough. They provide more than enough info for what it is that they need to do in their environment. So,
yeah, fair enough. You get a lot of detail.
Yeah.
For what, right?
Yeah, and then across the top here, right? Like, one of the things they were really interested in, where is it? Is here, end user computing. They've got a large fleet of workspaces. So giving them some easy visibility on sort of their costs and things like that, I thought that was kind of interesting. Right?
Yeah.
You can see all the different tabs across the top here. So kind of cool. We're going to start setting it up for them next week. So it'll be interesting to see what it actually looks like with real data and sort of how it works. So that's that. And that is the list of news articles that I had for the week. Significantly shorter than last week. But it's just been kind of one of those weeks. So I don't know if there's anything else you've thought of as we were chatting here about these articles. Kevin, anything that you ran into that you thought was interesting this week you want to share?
I did find an article about a completely serverless bank.
Completely serverless bank. Okay, share. Throw it in Slack for me and I'll grab it.
All right.
If I can find Slack, there we go.
Yeah, here you go.
All right, let me copy that.
It's called Trezor. And they were on a monolith, apparently, and they've migrated to event microservices on AWS.
Okay.
So I haven't had the chance to actually read through this, but I thought that was interesting.
It's a banking as a service platform. The server serves millions of transactions every day. You might be using it through one of their clients. That's interesting. So this, now we're getting back into the monolith versus serverless. So I'm gonna make an assumption here based off of the fact that this is being touted as a serverless banking platform, that these folks saw benefits of going from a monolith to a serverless versus the previous story where there were benefits of moving from a serverless infrastructure to a monolith back to a, I shouldn't call it a monolith. Let's call it a more traditional,
a local,
EC2 based application or something like that. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting to see banking applications going into this. It looks like it was an old PHP monolith and they've used the Strangler pattern to migrate it over.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Here's like a little note, right? They built it using PHP, Lumen, Brief, I don't know how to say that, Lambda, SQS, Dynamo, SNS, S3, and KMS. The new service was exposed to manage day-to-day banking operations back in 2020, so it's been running for a while.
Just something that caught my eye.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
Still trending towards serverless microservices.
Well, I think it's kind of like the thing is, right, same old stuff, use the right tool for the job.
For the job,
And if it makes sense and it's cost-effective, then yeah, like offload that work to somebody else, right? Why manage an operating system if you don't have to? I guess it's that same old thing, right? It's just finding the right solution for what it is you're trying to do and then implement it to make sure that you can meet your business objectives. That's always the goal. It doesn't matter if you're talking about a cloud-based solution or something you're going to run in a traditional environment.
Yeah.
Nothing new, really. Awesome. All right. Kevin, come on. Give me something here. Good coverage from my end. I appreciate the links. Awesome. All right. Well, short one this week, folks, but we'll be back next Friday again with at least 4 or 5 articles to talk about and hopefully no technical issues, but you never know what's going to happen, right? The beauty of just turning on the streaming solution and see what happens. So enjoy your weekend, folks, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.